This is RSBNB Update, episode 513, recorded Friday, April 17th, 2015. Survey redundancy. Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. After the fun episode that was 512, turns out as though Earth is feeling a little under the weather this week and needs some time to recover after a pretty hectic week. So this week, joining us on the podcast is Magic King.
Hello.
And Alex43. Both these guys do various things at RSBNB. Magic is part of the Community Ambassador Troupe, and Alex is, well, known for his very long and insightful Informer articles. Ain't that true?
Can I say hi now?
Yes, yes, please.
Hello.
You should have done that when I said that, but anyways.
I didn't get a chance. You were still talking.
That's okay. So how are we all doing this week? We excited with this release schedule?
Mm-hmm.
Well, might have to wait a week to get excited.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that in a bit, but another small, tiny update this week, in my opinion. Would you guys say I'm right in calling this small?
There's quite a bit of things that they did with it. Like, it's a bunch of small things as opposed to one big thing, so I'd probably even give this one a medium.
All right, how about you?
I mean, the small ones generate the most controversy. So, yeah, this one's small.
And a lot of riots.
You know, when this update came out, I was in the Bits Bytes friends chat. That's where you can join and chat with us. Highly recommend you do that. That's a very fun thing to do. I said, well, it's update time. I'm going for now, but anyone, please do let me know if there's a riot after this. Anybody know if there was a riot this week?
I have no clue.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I don't riot.
Yeah, and that's good, because I don't think rioters would be allowed to be on this podcast, but unless it was for a very good reason. So the reason I said that is because the number one question in the update topic pertaining to the update that brought in Banktap, Citadel Chat, and the Jmod Toolbox was, why is Vic not here this week? And let me just ask you guys, were you guys really that excited for Vic that you want him this week rather than next week?
I didn't care either.
Okay.
I mean, he appears and he actually lasts for quite a while and then goes away.
Yeah, so, and I mean, I don't exactly know what the big deal is, because after all, to benefit from Vic, you need to, you know, have bonus XP and whatnot saved up, and that requires, well, treasure hunter keys, and that requires either lots of grinding daily challenges or microtransactions, which I thought people were against, but I guess not. Anyways.
Well, most people.
Yeah. So, Jagex caves in once again. The number one question on this is, where's Vic? And Jagex says, oh, we strapped down, I forget whichever Jmod it was, but if you get his tweet to 500 retweets, we will add Vic into the game today. You have 1 hour to get 500 retweets. And of course, well, being the RS community, 500 retweets is a very small thing to ask, and it succeeded. So before we talk about the, you know, the ethical ramifications of this, do you guys think that this was a publicity stunt and Vic was actually meant to come out this week? Or,
oh, definitely.
Or were they just acting based on what the players were saying?
I would think the second one.
Okay.
Like, I don't think Jagex would stoop that low for a publicity stunt.
I mean, anytime you say, oh, you know, retweet this or like this X times in the next hour, I feel like it's a publicity stunt. Because that means it's ready. They just didn't want to put it out yet.
Yeah, or it didn't, you know, fit with the schedule that was going. And, I mean...
Well, Vic isn't even a new thing. They've already built him, so really yeah. They could have just added them whenever they wanted to.
But the point is, JX has an internal schedule to follow, and the schedule, you know, is presumably set, well, I mean, a couple weeks in advance once we know the update has been fully tested and is ready to go in the case of, you know, new updates that aren't pre-existing code. At this point, let's just assume, for sake of argument, that adding Vic into the game is as easy as, you know, toggling another bonus XP weekend, that kind of ease. So it's not a question of effort on their part. It's a question of whether or not, you know, we need this in game. And, well, the evidence has shown that when enough players jump up and scream and flail their arms about, JX does act these days, whether it be, you know, for adding Vic into the game, a toggle on the skill capes. And both these things have happened in a sheer number of hours after the initial update came out. So I'm a little bit worried about this. How about you guys?
I think they're starting to go with the customer is always right policy.
And all right.
Personally, I don't think they need to. They've done fine on their own for however many years at this point. There's no need to start caving now.
14 years.
No, indeed.
So, and
I think what they're doing by listen. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, no, you.
I think what they're doing by enabling the players to actually almost force them into doing things is actually a very bad idea, because this keeps on happening, that players are able to influence when they make updates and stuff to this extent, then more and more people are going to do it, because in the past it's worked before, and with that extra confidence, they're just going to keep on getting pushed around a bit until eventually they may not even be able to stop the player base from getting what they want.
Yeah.
And that's not good. That's going to bring them down if you let everybody say what they want.
I don't know if it's going to bring them down per se, but I think it's definitely the bad way of going about you know, fixing problems, because let's remember, I want to do two things here. First things first, anytime you introduce something new into a piece of software, whether it be a game or a new operating system, you don't make fast reactive changes. I mean, the only time that really fast reactive changes are warranted in the software industry are when there's a major bug and something is being actively damaged because of it. So turning corners like this isn't exactly the best thing, because, I mean, granted, saying for Vic that we're just going to add Vic to the game. Now, Vic doesn't hurt anything server-wide or anything like that. But let's say there's an update that comes out in the future, some random skilling update for a certain skill. I don't even know. It can be any skill right now. And let's say there's something that is highly contentious in this update that at the beginning does require a certain level of using of this new feature in this skill. So people see something they don't like on day one, but they haven't fully experienced the update yet. And if reactive changes are being made because of that, something that looks bad but might not exactly be bad in the future, that's a problem.
Well, I think that RuneScape is a very difficult game to maintain anyways, because it's all about change.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll talk about this in a bit with the update cycle, because clearly the player power pull wasn't enough there. And the second thing I wanted to bring up was something you mentioned in your Informer article this week, is that when you have customers, the ones who like it just go along, you know, accept it and say, this is very nice, that sort of thing. But if you have some people who don't like what's going on, even if they're in the minority, they're going to be loud. And let's face it, the internet allows any idiot out there who wants to raise enough of a fuss to do that successfully and appear as though he or she has a valid point.
So the idea behind that is that all the players who are content with it, be them the huge majority, they don't say anything. And then the very tiny minority do say stuff. So all you get is negative comments and you don't know what the player base wants.
Yeah.
Except that you think that they're all discontent with it.
And see, this is the thing. By fostering such an attitude of, you know, listening to the players at their every whim, you are, by that nature, encouraging more of this discussion, which in turn, you know, creates more noise in the topics, as you just said, to the point where pretty much everything in the topics is going to be controversial, and there's going to need to be some assumptions made that if people aren't posting in these topics, what's actually there is actually, or not there, sorry, what's not in the topics is actually the people who are content with what's posting. And it just doesn't work that way because people see people that agree with them and they think they're in the majority, which it's just not good. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with Vic. I used him and I completed my farmer's outfit, so I'm happy about that. But I just think this came about in the wrong way.
Yeah. It's one of many examples to come.
Indeed. Magic King, you have anything else on Vic?
I mean, Vic's nice, but at the same time, do we really need to trade bonus XP for skill outfits?
Yeah, I think the last time he was around was in October or November, if I remember correctly. So it's definitely going to be a 6-month kind of thing. And I don't know.
They also did kind of mention you won't get another chance during the updates, so it kind of made it pressured us a little bit into doing it, and then suddenly he's back, so a bit of a jerk move in my opinion, but still, I mean, gives people the opportunity to get the stuff back.
Yeah.
Well, they also seem to put him in a month after bonus XP weekends.
Yeah. That's a very good point. February was the last bonus XP weekend, and I mean, if people were on a training binge even after the weekend and used their bonus XP, what are they going to have left, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
bad timing.
Or maybe
good timing, because they still have all their bonus XP stored up and they just don't have any resources left.
I think it's a business move because now people are buying spins to get skill outfits.
That could be entirely true as well. Possibly. But on the other side of the coin of that, with regard to it being a business move, it's also a move to level the playing field for people, you know, who did not get these things on the limited time, you know, the 3-day weekend windows that you have. So it evens the playing field for people who didn't want to buy the Treasure Hunter keys. So you can't fault Jagex for that either.
No, indeed. They're a business after all. They have to make money.
Yep, and too many people don't get that in this day and age, you know?
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, Vic is nice to have, but I just think that we should have less mob influence than this, unless it was a publicity stunt. And if it was indeed a publicity stunt, you know, to, you know, just raise knowledge of Treasure Hunter and whatnot, then maybe they should have come up with something better.
Well, I mean, the subtle ones are always the best ones.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking as I was just saying that there. Oh, this many people want Vic. Oh, well, this is a perfect way to drum up interest for more Treasure Hunter keys, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So,
now that I think about it, maybe you're right. Maybe it was a publicity move because they're also trying to show that they do listen to the player base, and so they want everyone's feedback in the regards.
Yeah, but do you want to, you know, be shown to be that flexible that you're basically a lapdog for whoever, right?
And that's where it kind of branches off for me.
Yeah. So, and well, I guess thinking of it, it's probably the best way of making Treasure Hunter keys then. Oh, these millions of people want Vic. Let's add him in. Certainly people are going to buy some bonus XP this weekend and see what happens and trade it in for the outfits. So maybe this is a smart business move after all. And if that's the case, I commend them, but it just looks really bad to me.
Well, only time will tell.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the fact that it's centering around a treasure hunt update does make it a little bit different than, say, if it was next week's Aquarium and there was some major changes that were made to that without, you know, proper consultation or another combat update in the future, maybe. So we got to think of this going forward. But I think, regardless, a dangerous precedent was set this week, and we'll just have to be on the lookout going forward.
Or here's a thought. Maybe what happened was, since Victoria wasn't coming out this week, players were going to think he was going to come out next week, and therefore the Aquarium would end up coming out at the end of the month, and maybe they wanted Vic to come out earlier, so the Aquarium would be forced to come out earlier.
Are people really that fussed about the Aquarium?
I have no idea, but no. They are creating a bit of hype about it.
Okay.
They're trying to create a bit of hype about it anyways.
Well, they'll be hype for, you know, 2 weeks, and then everyone's just going to forget about it.
And the number one thing we use our player-owned houses for, storing pets.
Storage.
The altars, yeah.
All right, so if that's...
That's why I'm waiting for that construction update.
Yeah, it's not happening this year, sorry. But if that's it for Vic, let's talk about the bank tabs and Citadel chat quickly.
Alrighty.
So, bank tabs, you can move bank tabs around now.
How long have bank tabs been in the game?
Oh, I want to say since 09?
Okay, well, then this should have been added in 09.
Okay.
You think so?
It should not take 6 years to figure out how to drag a tab.
But, okay, maybe you can explain to me then why we need to move bank tabs, because in the entire time my bank tabs have existed, and I asked Earth this last week, why would someone want to move a tab?
I'm going to say OCD and no other reason.
Okay, because I've never wanted to move a bank tab. I'm actually okay with what I got right now.
It's also mainly because you actually create your own bank tabs, and so by the initial creation of said bank tabs, you're moving all your items around in the order that you want. So initially, the order is the way you want it anyway, so there really is no reason to move them.
I mean, if you could access the tabs by number key, I could see maybe a reason for that, but you can't. And if you go into a tab, there's really not that much scrolling to do. So, I mean, unless you like scrolling through that first tab, the master view of everything, then I guess that would be a reason to move bank tabs, but personally, this is not a feature I'm going to use.
No, there's no point.
No, I'm not going to use it either. I'm too used to what I have right now.
Citadel chat, then. When you enter a Citadel, you can now choose to display your public chat to all players within the Citadel or just players nearby.
Yep.
I think that's good.
That's a good move, yeah.
Because the Citadels...
Everyone can hear you.
Citadels, as they are, you know, are... You don't have clustering of people in the Clan Citadel. You either have people in one area or maybe two areas. So it doesn't make sense, you know, to just have, like if you're off in the middle of some island somewhere, not be able to, you know, talk to other people in there. So I think this is good.
Especially when you have visitors, they have no idea what they're doing. So they're going all over the place. And if you want to direct them places, then you're able to tell them, hey, you guys go there. Stop messing around.
Alrighty then.
I mean, at the same time, why not just use the clan chat?
Yeah, but
because again,
if you have visitors,
can't you visit clan chat citadels?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can visit the clan chat.
But if you use the citadel, then, I mean, if you use the clan chat, then you might have people who aren't in the citadel, and it gets kind of confusing, and you don't have a segmentation.
I think it's still minor.
Yeah, it is. All right. Also this week, the JMod Toolbox. JMods can do more fun things to people at the JMod events. If you go to JMod events, yes, no, maybe so.
I've watched one event at Castle Wars where Mod Rowan spawned black dragons. It was hilarious to watch.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I try to go, but they're extremely awkward times.
And there's a lot of people on when those happen.
Well, that's good. People are at least going to them now, because I remember last month we had the update to the clock that added the JMOD events to them, so people could actually see when things were happening.
Oh, the clock that everybody toggled off as soon as it was put in?
I have it off. I know Paul has it on. I don't know of anyone else that has it on, though. But
sorry, what toggle?
The clock.
There's a clock?
Yeah, the game clock.
Exactly. There's but a it, clock?
But they turned it on for everyone, so surely you should have seen it at least once, Alex.
I have a big screen. It's lots of stuff, you know?
It should be in the top left by default, I think. But,
yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it's just something on it or something.
It's a UTC clock that you can have, so you know exactly when fish flangers and whatnot are going to start. You know, that's just in case your system clock is out of sync.
It probably is if we live in Canada.
No, about a minute, but anyways. All right, so there's the update for this week. I will talk more about some interesting things coming up later in the combat beta for things that JMODs can do. But in the meantime, the patch notes, a couple of interesting things caught my eye this week. Option to disable PvP XP has been added to the combat interface settings, so this means that skill peers and the like should be able to do things like Castle Wars and Soul Wars without getting combat XP now. So that's something that's been years in the making.
We're going to have a lot more peers now.
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly what they would do that would, you know, like take a skill peer, for example, what a skill peer would do that would be all that useful in Castle Wars, but I'm sure they could find a use. The place I see this really being useful, though, is, you know, if you have something like a Turmoil peer who doesn't want to get XP in certain skills, you can toggle that off and just go fighting as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, makes sense, but I don't know. It's a necessary thing to work with PvP, to rejuvenate PvP, I have to say. That's my pass on that one. Players can now add the magic watering can and the magic secateurs to the tool belt.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I don't have to keep it in my bank all the time anymore.
And you thought I would miss this one. And I would not put this in the notes. But it's there.
Farming genius Shane misses that one?
No, I absolutely did not. It's one of the first things I noticed. Are
wishing this I bet you were wishing it came out a long time ago, huh?
Yes and no. Yes for the watering can, no for the secateurs. But keepsake box saved me on that one, because I do like to you know, have the magic green things out when I'm farming, just because, you know, that's what I've always worn when I've farmed. It does feel a little bit weird, though, not seeing them if I don't have the override on. Because, well, it's in the tool belt, and you don't see it. So I'm like,
you can't equip it anymore.
Am I not using these? Am I not using these? Am I missing out on 10% of my yield? I don't know. I feel kind of superstitious with regards to that. I don't know if it's actually working. I feel much more secure actually seeing them in my equipped hand slot. So I'm gonna take Jagex's word that they're working until I notice a drop in my herb farming profit.
Yeah. Well, 10% of like 8 herbs is still 0.8, and I'm not sure if they round it or if they run the int rounding.
But what about when you get a bumper crop yield of 84 herbs? That's 8 herbs you could miss out on if they weren't there.
Ah, that makes sense.
That's my record, by the way, 84.
Really?
Yeah.
For 4 or 5 patches?
6.
Six. Where's this? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's another prift in this one.
Someone hasn't been herb farming recently, I can tell.
That's right. I'm only level 93, and I got that from XP Labs.
All right. Silverhawk boots and feathers will be available to earn through gameplay as minigame spotlight rewards in the future. So these are, you know, the OP agility treasure hunter items. That train agility as you walk or run that many people have got in the past. You can sell them for many millions a piece. So good to see that these will be coming into game through a mini game, because there's so many little useful treasure hunter tools, you know, that could come into game through the mini games. So totally. Maybe we'll see this for more of the treasure hunter rewards later on.
That'd be kind of cool.
I could get behind that.
Yeah, if they do it with skill outfits, it'd be good.
Yeah, the shark outfit would be another, I would have to say. That thing is OP.
Yeah.
You remember people really didn't care too much for barbarian fishing after Rocktails came out? Well, you can, you know, convert pretty much everything you get with the shark outfit so that you don't get any extra stuff. So you just bring a ton amount of bait and you can just sit there and fish those things forever. I haven't tested the XP on that, but I imagine it must be pretty great.
But I think it's a lot better than Shiloh Village.
Oh, yeah, of course. That thing was obsoleted as soon as Barbarian Fishing came out.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I play a lot of old school, too.
Anything else from the patch notes for you two?
What about the voiceover?
Oh, yeah, voiceover added for Saren and the Elf Memory Crystals.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
So I wonder if this means that the Saren and the Elves quest will be voiced.
I hope so.
Probably.
I mean, even
I want
if
all
they
their quests to be voiced now.
Yeah, well, it's just too expensive.
I know, but still.
Even if they were to just voice Saren in that quest, I think that would be worthwhile. I mean, you don't need to voice any of the other elves or anything like that, but just voice the one. You know, the second biggest god in the game next to Zaros, I would say. Elder gods excluded. That'd be very nice.
Although we kind of need to hear what they sound like.
Yeah, yeah. What does a crystal, being made a crystal, sound like?
Mm.
All right, since you guys have nothing else in the patch notes then, I think I asked you, Magic, if you did, yes?
Yeah, I've got nothing.
All right. Well, combat beta changes. This week, the combat beta was updated once again to feature JMOD faction PvP. So basically, this means that Jagex can take a set area, say, for example, the Lumbridge Crater, and create faction-based PvP where people can join one side or the other. So it'll effectively work the same way World Event 1 did, except Jagex can set this up anytime, anywhere they want.
Nice.
So Jagex can do a whole bunch of these things, and you know, we're slowly seeing what JMOD events are actually going to turn out and look like, which are becoming more interesting with every update they get. I still don't know if people go to them, if people can be bothered to take a break from their XP, but we'll see.
Well, there's a lot of things on the Twitch that they put out, like the drop, for instance. Those are usually pretty popular.
If it doesn't crash the server...
No, indeed.
well, I mean, that's how popular it is.
Yeah. Well, we're still on the fence. Let's remember, we're still on the fence whether it was DDoS or server crash, because they did say they were having a problem with that. But
what they should do, they should run it on a whole bunch of different servers, and then as the players that
they
are on
did.
There...
they had it on like five weaned, servers.
Then as players get weaned down, they all start transferring onto the same server. Until you have the one instance with the finalists, basically.
That would be an interesting thing to do, but I think from the way it's set up and the way Jagex instancing works, I think we're a while off from that. But
I think they should get it to work on separate servers first before they start doing something like that.
Yeah,
because when they did their second drop, I was there and I tried to get on, but I couldn't, and I was thrown into a different instance of the game, but it was still working. So
they need a way to let people. Idea came out. Play from the website if we're just talking about the drop here. I don't know if any of you guys know of this, but a good number of years ago, I think in 07 or 08 it might have been, there was an Xbox Live Arcade game called 1 vs. 100, and you could play in that as either the 1 or the 100, but even if you weren't in the 100, you could also play along and have a chance at winning. So maybe
that was a ton of fun.
Yeah, I'd really like that to come back, too, especially now, you know, with the Xbox One and the Kinect and all that kind of stuff, and I just need to make
sure... Twitch and everything.
Need to make sure I don't accidentally turn the Xbox on. But notice I didn't say that there. Anyways. New looting mechanic also got some updates this week, so you can toggle it to activate on the right click now, which I guess kind of makes sense, but...
What?
Well, I mean, right now, if you click on a stack of stuff on the floor, it pops up, and this is when you use your left click. So they made it so it can open on the right click now as an option, but my question with this is if somebody enables this right click toggle, are you still going to be able to take a right click and select a specific item? I don't know. Or are you just going to use the looter interface? I haven't got on
maybe
to
you
test
can hold,
this yet.
Maybe you can hold the button down and then select an item or just release it right away.
That would be nice. And there you go once again with the creative thinking, Alex. That's same way I think, you know, different ways we could implement things. But unfortunately, we are not Jagex.
Alas.
You can no longer take items into Thakatuum, one of the Dungeoneering mini-sagas. Keystone Primus now works with the loot interface. That's good. Warband supplies work. Gatestone 2 now works. And it's no longer usable in stealing creation holding cells.
What?
Well, think about it. The stealing creation holding cells, everything is on the floor, tables, and you can just pick them up. So if you were able to use this in stealing creation, you'd pick everything up.
No, indeed, steal all their stuff.
Yeah. Anyways, so combat beta, check it out, submit constructive feedback, but nice progress being seen there.
Good stuff.
Alrighty, so...
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, we had the poll pertaining to update size versus update frequency. And we know that update size won out. And as I mentioned on last week's episode, as we saw last week and this week, people are not impressed with the size and scope of updates we're having in April. And the unfortunate thing is, and Jagex has realized this, and I realized this last week, is that this update size of April is going to look like what the rest of the months are going to look like if there's a large update coming. Which, obviously, as we've seen, players are not liking. Hence, Jagex put out a survey this week, 20 questions long, asking about what people think of the current update strategy. So, did you guys both do this survey?
I did.
Yeah, I did.
And what's your overall impressions without going into any of the questions? What do you guys feel?
Like of the survey or the content or what?
The survey and the questions it asks.
I thought that was very, very quest-oriented. Like it talks about updates, yes, but there's a lot of quest and quest stuff in there.
Okay. New?
And I'm wondering, are they...
Go ahead.
Like, I know I shouldn't, I know you don't want me going into any specific questions and stuff, but one of the things that was in the survey was regarding what size of the updates were, or what size of the quest we, I think, let me take a look at this again. Go ahead. What was that question?
Go ahead, Dom.
All right, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they realized that the first poll that they put out just wasn't good enough, you know, saying, do you want larger or smaller updates? Okay, for what exactly?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, now they have to expand and they've just gone over the top.
Yes, and 21 questions going through, and with the essay response last question where you can fill in anything you want is very open from Jagex.
Well, I mean, on top of that, why does it matter how old you are?
Well, I mean, what you can do is say, like, if you're 45 to 54 and you're a female and you only play a certain amount of time per week, well, we can cater those updates to that age group then, right?
And they know what their age group is, mostly.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, it's entirely feasible that someone who's younger or someone who's older is going to prefer a different release cycle.
Well, I mean... Yes, but are you going to go for the majority, or are you going to go for the 50 players that are, you know, in their 40s and 50s?
I honestly don't know anymore, going based on what we've seen so far. But
They're just contradicting themselves at this point.
Like, yeah.
Here's a player poll. They answer it. Then they're not happy with their answer. Okay, well, here's another poll to fix it.
And, you know, part of this, I don't know who runs and who comes up with the questions for polls, but the polls, ever since they were first, you know, brought in with player power, have always, you know, been questionable in one way or another. They aren't questions that you put on a poll. There's biases hidden in each of these questions, either based on the picture that shows up first, the first option. It's just, there's no sense behind how Jagex conducts its polling. They need to hire someone who understands statistics, numbers, biases, that sort of thing. Granted, anybody who has taken a statistics class will know how sample sizes and whatnot work. But when you're writing poll questions, that needs to be taken very, very carefully when they're, you know, changing the way the updates work and everything. So, and that's why they're contradicting each other. Anyways, let's get right into this.
All right.
I'm not going to go through all 21 questions. That will take way too long. So right. What I want to ask you guys is which questions stood out for you? Let's start with you, Alex.
All right. Like I said, the one regarding quests, number 14, it's saying, which of the following options do you prefer? Do you prefer fewer or longer quests or shorter or smaller ones or a mixture of short and long quests?
All right. I said a mixture on that.
Yep. I said shorter and smaller.
Oh, okay.
The reason why is because the larger quests are awesome to do, but I mean, you get them done and then that's it. So, and they're not very frequent. They build up that hype and you really want to get them done. And then they come out, you do them like on the first or second day and that's it. But shorter or smaller, if you have just something to do a little bit, like every week, it's feels like RuneScape is a little bit more substance if there's always like another quest to do.
All right.
And it also, there's lots of different stories. Like, even if it's a smaller story, it's still telling another story, and there's lots of different ways it can go. And that's what keeps the game interesting, is just all the backstory stuff.
And that's how quests were back in the olden days. There was lots of, you know, small and medium-sized quests that seemed like they were coming out every week. I think it would be great to go back to something like that, like one or two quests a month, absolutely.
I would love for Jagex to spend a month just to have like maybe one person, everybody in the design department, just come up with a quest regarding existing people and stuff and just make a huge quest fest. Just make maybe 10 quests or so of you just running around talking to other people.
Okay.
It'll give the game so much substance.
Now, a question I want to talk about is number 15, since we're near 14. What excites you the most? A new skill? A boss, a quest series, or a new world area to explore? I said a new quest series. Mainly because for us, a new skill is so much work, updating the website, stuff like that. And you don't need a new skill every year.
Why not? If you're level 9 on everything, then what do you do?
Well, prestige mode.
Funny.
But
that didn't go well.
Well, we could.
Well, I mean, that's why they released the mastery capes as well, so you can just keep on training.
But
I mean, you know, there's other things other than, you know, training. Bossing. You can. I mean, there's countless things you can do. You can join a clan and work on that. I mean, you could even pull out the mini games if you know you're one of those five people.
I'd like to point out that the last two skills added to game, Dungeoneering and Divination, all received criticism for being not skill-like.
I mean, Divination is much closer to a skill than Dungeoneering.
Yes.
And, you know, Divination, I can understand. I think Inventor should have come out with it.
Yeah, that would have been good. But that would have been good.
Yeah, that would have been much better because now everyone has all this energy and nothing to do with it.
Yeah. And they did say that they did mention that the two skills were going to be intertwined, and yet they're taking so long to get invention done.
Well, they also, you know, put it up for a poll and had it delayed another 6 months because of it. you know, here we are with more polls deciding game updates.
Again, listening to the minority.
Let's make a poll about the polls, shall we? Oh, no, that won't work. Let's make a survey about the polls.
Be sure to add a maybe to it.
They already did that, you know, a poll to get the polls. That's how this all started.
Okay. And while we're, you know, in the teens here, let's talk about number 17. We currently aim to release a core game update every week. Do you think it would benefit the game to have more significant but less frequent updates? Patch notes and ninja fixes would still be released weekly. Stay the same. Well, I don't mind larger but fewer. This is the exact same question that was in the poll. And if you're going for a survey where you're seeking completeness, you do not put "I don't mind." Sometimes what you need to do when dealing with polls and surveys is force people into a decision. Having undecideds is never a good thing.
And what "I don't mind" says is that the player read the poll and doesn't care. "I don't care for your poll" is basically what "I don't mind" is saying.
You see, my issue with it is they came up with the survey because the poll wasn't enough, right?
Yep.
So why did they put the poll question in the survey?
I know. It seems like madness. It seems like madness. Like, come on.
And to extend on it, if the player doesn't care about the poll, why are they answering
survey? Why are you answering a survey? Why is this on Twitter? Why is this on the RuneScape Facebook? Why is this on Reddit?
And this is one of the last questions. The player already answered the whole darn poll almost.
You send this out randomly to people. That's how you do polling. You take a random sample size.
It may not match their opinions, but they'll pick the closest one, and you'll still get good results.
On Reddit and the forums feel certain ways. They're the most vocal. They're going to answer it this way. You're going to get slanted answers.
Well, I mean, that's like going to Fox and saying, "Oh, you know, what do you think the Republicans?"
Yeah.
You know what the answer is going
to
be.
I know. But I'll explain fair and balanced to you later. It's okay.
No, I agree with you. You know, it should just be random. You know, just random pop up when you log into the game. Some people do it, some people won't.
Yes. It's like polling in an election. If you cover your polls in, you know, Toronto and Vancouver, of course it's going to say the Liberals are going to win a majority here. It seems like a good thing, but I don't know if we're actually going to get any real sense out of this, you know? I don't know. And then we have number 7. Which of the following is more important to you? Quality of content, variety of content, or frequently released content? Quality should always be up there. That should not be an option. I don't know.
Do you want a thousand bad updates? I mean, do you want 1,000 bad updates, or do you want one good one? That really shouldn't be a choice.
I struggled to think of an update from JX in the last 2 years or 3 years that was not A1 on release, aside from maybe the grouping system.
Well, I mean, even with variety, what, do they release the same thing 20 times a year? No, it's normally completely different.
It should be variety. And content should, or quality should always be there. I mean, that seems like an obvious one. But, I mean,
I think it's just a troll question to ask players, "Hey, let's just get it out on the table here. What do you want?" kind of thing.
And, I mean, you could say quality also stands for how big and how epic the thing is going to be. Is it going to be, you know, another dimension of disaster or dishonor among thieves? So, I mean, that could be what quality of content means here. And if that's the case, they should have said size rather than variety, because quality does not always relate to size. Quality should always be up top.
I mean, after the last question that we just discussed, we should probably be taking the rest of the survey with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, when I took this survey in sequence, it made sense as to what they're trying to do here. But when you get to number 17 and the people who take this, it just invalidates the entire thing in my view.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just say that what we're trying to, what the ultimate upshot of the survey is that the polls in game don't provide a clear enough picture based on the feedback that we've seen so far in April with the size of the updates, meaning that if we only have one or two headline updates a month, as we have in April, we're going to be seeing the same kind of negative responses that we've also seen in April, and I touched on that last week. So basically, that led to this survey in that we need to get a better picture of the community. Who wants the larger updates? Who wants the smaller updates? And which areas of the game, skills, quests, bossing, you know, whatever, should have larger or smaller updates. So I think what we could end up seeing from this, if anything useful comes from this survey, is that certain types of updates will be more frequent than other types of updates. For example, we might see quests return to one per month, or maybe two in some cases. And we might see, you know, skill updates also pick up pace, but we might see other updates only become headlining updates every so often. So I think that is ultimately what could come from this. But, you know, you can say you get as many people as you want online, but you just, as we know, you just refresh your browser, clear the cookie, and you can take the survey again. So it is prone to gaming. So we got to take it with a grain of salt, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if I remember correctly, a year ago when they first started the Power to the Player polls, we were all saying, you know, is the community mature enough to decide game content? And I think this month has shown us no, they are not, because they voted, okay, you know, let's have less frequent but bigger updates. And they're getting it and they're saying, no, this isn't enough. I want more.
Yes. And I would also like to point back to the skill cape update last month. That was an issue and resulted in a 180 right away.
That whole mess.
And also mess of Halloween 2014. We go along with two, three polls, and then we decide, oh, we don't like either of those. Jagex comes up with something. One of the best Halloween events ever. So.
And, you know, that's one of the few times where they've said, you know what, forget the poll, we're doing it our way.
Yeah, and you know, one thing.
It's one of the best things they've come up with.
Yeah, true that.
Yes. And one thing that, you know, they said forget the poll, but we never heard of since. Remember those cosmetic discontinued items? Not a peep.
God.
Not a peep. What? Not a peep. Yeah, last year in April, they polled whether or not certain cosmetic items like the Easter ears and the yo-yo should come back as loyalty point reward items. The answer was a resounding yes, but it never appeared, and Jagex never said anything.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think we've discussed and provided you listeners out there with, you know, the upshot of this survey. You can take it if you want, if you feel your opinion is valid in this, but I don't know. I just want to say one more thing on this, then I'll ask you guys if you have anything else on this. Dishonor Among Thieves was not on the most enjoyed updates of the last 12 months for the quests.
It wasn't, was it?
No.
Is this an old survey?
Disaster? No, this is fresh. I mean, Dimension of Disaster, Heart of Stone, Broken Home, Plague's End, Mighty Fall, Fate of the Gods, and One of the Kind, all in there. Dishonor Among Thieves, though, is missing.
Huh.
And I think Dishonor Among Thieves was maybe bigger than, well, I mean, you can't say it's bigger than The Mighty Fall, but maybe,
bigger than The Wildy Worm, at least.
Yeah, okay, bigger than that, and also bigger than Broken Home.
Yes, I would.
So, all right, anything else on the survey, you two? Alex?
Anything else on the survey? Not really, no.
All right, last word although, to you, Magic King.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Although I'm hoping and thinking that question 17, the whole reason for that is that if somebody does select I don't mind, it disregards their survey, so it's sort of a way to help weed out the bad people. I'm hoping that that's the point of some of these questions, is that it actually gets rid of the entire survey altogether and does not contaminate the others, per se.
Oh, wow. All right, last word to you on this, Magic King. So,
here's my hope, and you've been warned, ladies and gentlemen. Answer survey honestly and directly, and be confident in your answers. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just remember, you're doing the survey to figure out the updates in the game that you are playing. If you don't answer the way, you know, the way you want or the way you think should be answered, it's going to hurt you in the end. You know, take it seriously. It's the updates for the game that you've played for years and you're probably going to play for years.
And you don't need rune coins for doing it. You have too many.
All right. So on to something a little bit lighthearted now. Player's Gallery for the Questathon, or Questival, I'm sorry, that we're there. People were asked to make a movie poster for Dimension of Disaster. Unfortunately, I can't tell you who the winner was because Jagex's servers are not responding for me. But there's a whole selection.
Just reload it. I got it.
Okay. There's a whole selection of great movie posters there.
They're good.
Yeah, they are. I got it now. All right. The winner was
they're
McConich.
All completely different.
Yes. McConich, We're All Dead Here, kind of showing, you know, a mirror version of the Varrock Fountain, which looks really nice when you think about it, because on the top you have our Varrock Fountain, then in the darkness you have the Mirror Universe Varrock Fountain, which I think illustrates it very nicely.
It's also nice and simple, too, because you notice that it's only just the two colors, and you see is silhouettes.
I agree.
Then yeah, it's very simplistic, especially compared to the runner-ups.
Yeah, it's a very fractally one with Zemmerigo on it. Yellow, someone liked yellow as well. But yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you have any art you want to enter, the next month's theme is Nature's Takeover. Interesting.
Yep, so basically design a piece of art like this place or location from RuneScape that's been completely overrun by nature somehow, like maybe an overrun city or a volcano gone crazy or whatever.
Don't you wish you would have won when they were giving prizes away? Because you get signed concept art, feedback from an RS artist, 7 days of membership, 200 rune coins, and a bonus XP lamp.
Nah, I'm going to wait till they fly the winners over.
Alrighty. Well, in addition to that, this week on Treasure Hunter, we have the Dwarven Tools, three of them that you can choose from when you get one of the allocation units. You can have the Chain Axe for woodcutting, the what looks like a jackhammer for mining, and the Fish Vacuumer for fishing. And these can toggle between double produce or double XP.
It's kind of cool.
I think I'll probably be using mine for, I don't know. Maybe mining rune ore. Might be interesting. Or
love the look on the player's face when they're using the jackhammer.
Yeah.
It looks so nice.
That is going to become a meme right away, I can tell.
Yeah, the entire body's shaking and... Anyways, yeah. I think the funniest part of these is indeed the pictures that were posted on Vine. You know, I don't know. I haven't used one of these up, but I think it would be very nice if you could use these animations after you complete each one of these. So if you get, you know, three of them, it can become an animation for that skill, even if you're not getting it. I think that'd be a nice side effect.
I don't know if I want to use the vacuuming thing with a harpoon. That would kind of look weird.
Well, I mean, you know, in 6 months for 150 rune coin, sure, you can have it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thinking you got your lobes on today, I see. Anyways, we do have the behind-the-scenes video for the aquarium. Earth is not here this week, so I don't need to do any editing about the aquarium, but I am assuming he'll be back next week and we can talk all about the little fishies
you'll hear it.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's an episode he wants to be on. So, apparently one thing with this aquarium is you're going to have the option to pull the plug on it, quite literally, and the water will drain and you get to start fresh. So it's going to be an interesting way of using construction and adding grind content to the game. End game content. Yay!
Yeah, I can see Reed just holding a huge party of buying one of those and draining it.
Totally.
All right, and final warning to everybody out there who uses Google Chrome. Google Chrome updated this week, so Java is no longer supported in the browser. And if you're wondering why you can't play RS in your Chrome, that's why. I highly recommend using the in-game client. It's by far the easiest way and provides the most seamless experience and allows you to, you know, not to have any issues from tabs and whatnot. So
there's usually no advertisements, too.
Well, members don't have any advertisements whatsoever.
I don't know anyone who still plays in browser.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, browser did have the option or the benefit way back when, you know, being really good for the school crowd and whatnot at lunch. But
yeah. Because you can just put it on your school computer and then just play RuneScape.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and mommy doesn't want you downloading any viruses.
Alrighty. Well, it's that time of the week where we sit back and have a listen to Paul. This week, Paul is back for another short segment. And this week, he's talking all about the Wicked Hood and how it's useful and can provide you with free daily runes. Or if you don't want the runes, at least you get 100 rune essence for free. So we'll have a listen to that, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Hello, this is SilverRose9, PFK99s from RSBNB. This is the RuneScape Need to Know series, where we take a look at features you may have missed or forgotten. Either way, hope you learned something useful. Last time we looked at auras, and this week we'll be looking at the Wicked Hood. The Wicked Hood is a members-only item that you can receive for free from Tam McGrub and Berthorpe. That's his fellow standing next to me. You can also pay for one for 175 rune span points if, for some reason, free is too cheap for you. The functionality is similar to that of a talisman, or more specifically, a tiara, but there are some worthwhile features. First of all, this one hood can be used as a tiara in that it can be worn and grants access to altars. However, the Wicked Hood can be used for all altars. This is accomplished similarly to creating a tiara in that a talisman will be consumed but will work forever within the hood. As a note, if you use an Omni Talisman or an Omni Tiara on the hood, it will gain those abilities in one step, minus the Death Talisman, rather than requiring each talisman again. Unlike a tiara, you can get your hood back, for free, whenever you lose it. All of the same features will remain as if it never left your possession. If you bind the Omni Talisman or Tiara as stated before, you'll be able to withdraw 100 unnoted pure essence once per day. After unlocking the various runes with a talisman, you can get 100 free-to-play runes or 5 pay-to-play runes per day. You can also teleport to any of the unlocked runecrafting altars twice per day. You can additionally teleport unlimited amounts of time to the Wizard's Tower top floor, which is useful to get into the Runecrafting Guild or Runespan. And as you know from a previous video, it is a easy way to get to the Vizwax machine. Further, the hood can be upgraded through the Runespan shop, which at maxima upgrades can allow you an additional 75 unnoted essence, 3 more rune withdrawals, and 1 more teleport. With just the hood and 59 runecrafting, approximately 63,000 GP can be obtained via runecrafting along with the 100 rune essence. Again, it's not huge money, but it is free. So I'm going to show you how to use it real quick. I already have it equipped. You can see it on my character. Just click on it and activate. I'm going to teleport to the nature rune altar. Probably see a couple bots there. There's one right there. Head on in and make some natures. Now, I do have my full inventory. This is how I tend to do the Wicked Hood every day. Make my first inventory full. Oh, level up. Nice. And then activate it again. And click on the essence. And my inventory will once again be filled with pure essence. And I can continue making runes wherever I want to. So, hope you learned something useful from this awesome free item or have been reminded to add it to your daily list. Again, I am SilverWiz9, PFK99s from RSBNB. See you next week.
Well, Thank you, Paul, for that. And as you know, he doesn't talk that long, so we don't need to worry about that this week. But anyways, we're going to move right on to questions now. So let's take the first question. Magic, you want the first one?
You want me to read all of this?
Yes, please.
Yay. This question is from NAC287. Whoa, you guys are still at it. I started listening to your show, what, 7-ish years ago? Back when I was still just starting middle school, at least. I don't recall the exact numbers. Either way, I'm surprised. I remember you, Shane, and Brad discussing the TV show Sherlock and something about Doctor Who. I still have all those episodes on my MP3 player. Too ashamed to admit it's a Zune. Oh, wait, just did. As early as episode 62, I believe. Wow. Either way, my question is this. Did Brad ever get around to eating his top hat as he promised he would if the wilderness came back?
Ah, yeah. Nice to know that you were one of the two Zune listeners out there. I kind of removed the Zune link on the update website about 6 months ago, but nonetheless, we do have better options these days. I honestly don't know the answer to that question. If he did, he wasn't around when the wilderness came back. That was during Chief Snake Brad's run at the show. And
yeah, he was long gone.
Yeah, so I mean, and if he did eat his top hat, that would be indeed why he disappeared.
He wouldn't tell us anyways.
Yeah. Yes. Anyways, we might be hearing from him in the future. We'll have to wait and see. He was supposed to come on for 500, but he had a scheduling issue at the last moment, so we did not get around to that. So we'll see if we can get around to that later this year. But if he did eat his hat, well, that would be why he stopped being co-host, because it would have been down his throat and he couldn't talk after that. But if he ever does come back on, I will be sure to ask him that question. Or maybe you will ask him that question if you resume listening to the podcast. Anyways, always nice to hear a longtime listener coming back, and we're glad you're with us. Alrighty. This next one is from Trekkie. With player-owned ports, after trial and error, and honestly a random click, the map table hotspot tells you where to go for your adventurers. I've been doing better with that. So if you could go visit one of those islands in player-owned ports, which one would you go to? As for me, I would go to the reef that lies to the map makers. This is a great coral reef where I can go and catch fish for my home. He always loved talking about his home and catching fish. So I guess I'll start this off by asking you guys, do you guys have a map in your player-owned ports?
I do. It's not open right now, so I don't know where anything is.
Yeah.
I haven't touched
so I don't know which islands there are.
Yeah, same here. Unfortunately, I don't really look at the map either, and I really haven't done too many of the clues, but I don't know. Just looking at the map right now, I'd say probably, I don't know, it's hard to say. I wouldn't want an area that's too long, so I'd probably go to the Scythe region and maybe the furthest north, northeast island in the Scythe region. That would be interesting, I think.
That's so cool. Yeah. I think for me, because it's, I guess, the only isle I can remember, and just because it's in true Alex 43 fashion, I would totally go to the Isle of Adamant.
And let me just say that we are so lucky that we cannot actually go to these islands, because I'm pretty sure we'd be having multiple 99 parties out there.
Probably so.
Yeah. All right. And Magic, you said you don't use the map in player-owned ports, and you don't know any of the geography, so you'll be taking a pass on this one, eh?
Yeah, I've got no clue.
Alrighty.
He probably will want to go to the hole in the world for the skydiving opportunity.
Interesting. Okay.
Or bungee jumping. It would be the most epic bungee jump ever.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, Trekkie, for that interesting question. Hopefully we have provided you with some insight into where we would go. All right. Next one from Colton. Alex?
Alrighty. Good evening, Shane and his lovely guests. Here are your questions for the week. Number one, if the new proposed update schedule stands, do you think it will result in higher, lower, or similar frequency of quests? Number two, what tree would you say best embodies you and your personality? Answer carefully. Number three, what is your favorite astronomical feature and why? It can be a star, a group of stars, a planet, a galaxy, whatever you please. Thanks for the great show, guys. Question from... Oh, sorry, it ended.
Well, I think we answered number one already, but I'll just say it again in a concise form.
I think it's dead at this point.
Basically, the new update schedule, based on the survey we had this week, I would like to say that it will result in more quests, but if they're silly quests like bringing home the bacon or, I don't know, give me another silly quest, you guys. What's another silly quest like bringing home the bacon?
One small favor.
Oh, God.
God.
It was awesome. Come on, you guys.
Oh, boy. I don't know about that, but... anyways, yeah, I think it is possible, depending on who answers this, that we'll see, you know, the quests come into play. And that's something people have been wanting for quite some time. And like I said, we could have more quests, less of a fewer update, and more, say, skill updates. And that is entirely possible with this most recent survey. But it's hard to say with how vague and wishy-washy this survey was. So my hope is that, yes, we will see more quests.
And I think it's going to be the opposite of what the survey says.
Of course. Of course. As we've learned over the last year and a half.
And if I may help answer the question, I don't mind.
Now, remember, you don't want to invalidate your answer.
Yeah, I never gave one.
Number two from Colton now.
All right.
What do you guys think? What tree?
Does that have to be a tree?
Well, he does say tree, so.
He does. Okay. I would probably go maple just for the sole fact I'm Canadian. I have a sweet inside and a very rough outside.
Okay.
And I'd like to say I'm a fairly colorful character.
All right. And you, Magic?
I don't have a clue. I'm a tree.
Yeah, you're probably not sentient, so we know that much, but
yeah, I'm going to go with a linden tree.
What is that?
I have no idea. It's what I was told to say.
Okay. If I have to say a RuneScape tree...
See, it doesn't have to be a RuneScape tree.
I would go with the Yube just because of strong, sturdy, large, tall, that kind of thing. But if I had to go real life, I would have to, you know, just go with the general, or not so general, I guess, blue spruce, because they sway in the wind and they come right back to where they were, not fazed by too much, and once again, tall, that kind of thing. So, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I am tall, so that's why I say the spruce. And we'll just pause.
And
once
I was
again.
Going on RuneScape.
Oh, okay.
Again.
Go ahead. Well, for his batteries.
And if I had to pick a non-RuneScape, I'd go with bamboo. Just because I'm tall, thin, and very flexible, and I don't break easy. You let them ask me. Okay. My favorite astronomical feature, I'd have to say, is a black hole, because every planet has one.
Every planet does not have a black hole.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't. If there was a black hole in every planet, we would not exist right now.
They're very, very small in the planets.
No, that is not true. I can't tell if you're being serious or if you're pulling all our legs here, but anyways.
I am kind of being both.
Oh. Okay, then.
Seriously pulling our legs?
Yeah.
I actually seriously believe there's a black hole in the center of the Earth right now. Like a fairly small one, not enough to pull us right in, but there's still a black hole.
Unfortunately, it does not work that way. I will explain to you how planets are formed at a later date, but... Alright, so Alex is the black hole. How about you, Magic?
Kepler for 38b.
Ah, that's going to be one of the ones that is a candidate, right? Sorry.
Might have life.
Yeah, we'll might out. Have life. And it's rocky and in the habitable zone, I think, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
That... It also has water, isn't it?
We don't know
like
yet.
Surface water?
We don't know yet. It could, potentially.
Yeah, the temperature's just right for water.
Yeah, Kepler 438b is definitely something out there. It's 470 light years away, which is pretty far in terms of our astronomical reach currently, which is too bad. You know, for me, it's so hard to limit it down to one thing for me. Let's see. I'm going to have to go with a stellar dust cloud, mainly because out of this stellar dust cloud, you can get a star, and then you can get a huge number of planets that come out of it, or maybe only a handful. But and then, of course, life can also come from this, depending on the chemical elements that are there, as happened with us. And it's just really interesting to see that when you have dust and debris and dead stars, and that can all congeal back together into a star and planetary system, perhaps. So I'd say the stellar dust cloud / nebula. Because the nebulas are star birthing grounds, technically. So that's for me.
Alrighty.
But so many things as well. I mean, Mars, because we found ice, water ice on Mars. There's the moons of Jupiter with insane tidal forces that generate volcanoes and whatnot. There's a undersurface ocean on one of the moons of Jupiter. Potential for hydrocarbon-based life. Venus, because it started out so much similar to Earth, but being closer sent away a runaway greenhouse effect. Stars, because you can have so many different kinds of stars. You know, the kind of our star, huge red giants, huge blue giants, those kind of things. And then, of course, black holes, which really just bends the whole theory of relativity and allows for interesting things to happen with space and time. So the entire thing is interesting to me. But I go with the planetary
nebula. You're gonna love quasars.
Yep. Planetary nebula / stellar dust cloud. Alrighty. Anybody want the last one, or should I take it?
You take it.
I'll read it. Oh, okay.
All right. Howdy, friends.
Yeah, you go ahead. My mic might cut
up. Yeah. Howdy, friends. Do you guys think the gray goo scenario is possible? I do. Scary stuff. If it ever happens, I hope Grandma gets eaten first. My next question is for Shane. Responsible for more suffering, Vlad Putin or Vlad the Impaler? Thank you so much. Yours always, Tickle Me LaForge 1. No. Gray goo, never going to happen. Zombie invasion, never going to happen. Zombies aren't real. End of story on that for me.
I agree.
the only way the zombie invasion is going to happen is if we as a human species make it happen.
Well, there you go.
And that will involve a lot of research dollars to kill off the human race. So there's not much profit in that.
Exactly.
So you're not going to, probably very, very rare going to happen.
All right. More suffering? I would have to say Vlad the Impaler so far. Thankfully, Vladimir Putin's advances into Ukraine and around have mainly been targeted at hostile military groups and not civilians. And there were no great famines under Vladimir Putin that we know of so far. So definitely Vlad the Impaler. That's not saying Vladimir Putin is someone who you'd want to spend time with, though.
No, indeed.
And just one addendum to Colton's question. It was reported that we are 20 to 30 years off of NASA finding evidence of life elsewhere in the solar system. And that means bacterial life. All right, so let's move
so
on
what
to...
what do you mean by 30 years off?
30 years away.
Oh. So we're scheduling in 30 years to find life.
That's when it will happen. Anyways, we're going to move on to tech news
now.
Cable and wireless industries are suing the FCC over the net neutrality rules from back in February. So a group of cable and wireless companies are banded together to sue the FCC, mainly because they feel that the regulations that came down as a result of reclassifying the internet to the Title II are too restrictive and ultimately do make it appear as though it's going to cost too much to get their services out to their customers, which will, at the end of the day, hurt profit. So, what do you guys think?
I think
this whole thing's
got a nice suit on.
I agree. It is a mess. It is indeed a mess. As I mentioned back in February, using Title II to regulate the internet and bring in net neutrality, it was not one of the brighter ideas ever attempted by the U.S. Congress. And
I mean, one thing I've noticed is on, you know, places like Reddit, every time net neutrality comes up, they come up with, you know, a list of direct links to get to the most popular sites on the web.
What do you mean?
You know, in case the people on Capitol Hill shut down the internet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen.
I
don't think that's going to happen, and that's the whole tinfoil hat mentality of the people on Reddit in general, and that's why I don't like that site, but that's a topic for another day.
It's the doomsday idea.
Yeah, there you go. But anyways, back to internet. And you know, people do not like their cable companies. You know, next to airlines and whatnot, cable companies are one of the least favorite types of enterprises out there to deal with. And, you know, people know this, and the ISPs know this, and this is what makes it so hard to explain net neutrality to people, is because they hate their cable companies, that they automatically think that the cable companies are going to be doing bad. But I personally think this is a case where the cable companies are right. Because with this kind of regulation, anything is going to be possible, from usage fees for, you know, using your TV too much, to classifying that as bandwidth, and people who go over the internet caps. So, I don't know. You're right. The whole thing's a mess. And as I said back in February, something should have started over fresh. But as we know, the U.S. Congress approval rating is always in the teens. So I don't think that's going to happen now, is it?
No,
probably not.
Anyways, so just keep your head up about this, because basically we did mention something like this would be coming, and here we are, not even 2 months later. Question, though, remains to be seen whether or not people will actually, you know, see price reductions from this. I don't think they will, and it doesn't exactly solve the problem of getting to things in congested time periods that people said net neutrality will fix. Alrighty. Next up, the Apple Watch may have outsold all previous Android smartwatches in one day.
Nice.
So, research firm Slice Intelligence estimates that 957,000 Apple Watches were sold on Friday, April 10th. In comparison, 720,000 smartwatches powered by Google's Android Wear platform were sold in all of last year. And Apple hasn't had an earnings call, so we don't know how well the Apple Watch is selling, but based on pre-order demand and, you know, just the fact that it's the way Apple does things, I would not say this is a far stretch. And just goes to show all the naysayers out there that people do actually enjoy new kinds of technology. It just needs to be presented in a nice and innovative way.
And there's still a lot of people who are quite loyal to Apple.
Yeah, and I mean, anyone who has an iPhone, it's going to be a no-brainer to get an Apple Watch when the price inevitably comes down $200 for the next iteration.
I'm just waiting for the Apple iWatch 7 in a couple
weeks. Anyways, it's also worth noting that back in January, Apple's reported revenue was $74.6 billion. So something like this should be pretty nice indeed.
They can afford it. You do it.
All right. And our last piece of tech news this week talks about Moore's Law. So before we get too far down the path here, I will say that Moore's Law is something that was created by the founder of Intel, Gordon Moore, in the 1950s that basically said that every 24 months, give or take, the amount of transistors on a CPU would double. And through this, the amount of transistors also increases the amount of compute power on these CPUs. So therefore, compute power also doubles with the transistors. Now, this held true through the 1990s, the 1980s, and all through history. But it started to fall short in the last couple years, mainly because the manufacturing tech used to produce that CPU that's inside your phone, inside your computer, is shrinking so much down to a scale of nanometers, 14 nanometers to be precise, which is very, very small. And at such low levels, you do start to encounter the oddities of physics, mainly the differences between quantum physics and the normal macro reality that we live in. So because of that, things can't shrink as much anymore, and hence why Moore's Law is starting to kind of give out. Now, what do you guys think? Any questions, comments?
Well, I mean, you can only double it so much. It had to die sooner or later.
Yeah, and I mean, the next logical step for this as to how to prolong Moore's Law and get more power out of the small manufacturing processes that we're on currently is just to start using different materials and, you know, different ways of building the transistors so that the transistor count stays the same, but we do more with the transistors, similar to the way we started to do more with the megahertz of our CPUs in the early 2000s. Because remember, back in 2006, we had 3 gigahertz CPUs. It's 2015. We still have 3 gigahertz CPUs. We just do more with what we have. And that's essentially what we need to do with the physical hardware to increase performance. Mm-hmm. But no reason to worry. I think we're good for another couple years, and there's some very, very interesting things coming down the pipeline for transistors and logic gates and whatnot, at all produced at such low levels. I could talk about this for ages, but I'm not, because that'll undoubtedly bore everyone. Right, Magic King?
Plus, programming optimizations are really good nowadays.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, too. And I mean,
so we don't even need that much processor power anymore. I mean, we're putting all of our processes into the GPU, and we're
GPU refining our artists. Graphics is basically using the graphics card to compute stuff, for anybody out there who did not know what GPU computing is. But anyways, it's an interesting read, and it gives you an idea of what your CPUs are doing under the hood and what they will continue to do for the next number of years. Magic, you have anything on that, or...?
No, I stopped listening about 5 minutes ago.
And that is precisely why we have been talking for about 2 minutes too long on this. All right. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Now.
It's the only thing I know how to talk about.
April's skill of the month. Prayer. Safe to say, Certain people don't have a prayer in winning unless they got lots of money. We kind of got a flat line going on here, but Tim is in first place with 9.7 million experience gained, continuing on at a somewhat slower pace than previously. Second place is Arceus, maintaining a somewhat linear trajectory, 6.7 million XP gained so far, with a grand total of 84.3 million XP that he started with, so he definitely knows how to do prayer. And third place is Undoer with 3.2 million XP, and we'll give an honorable mention to Earth in fourth with 1.1 million XP.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought we would see a month where someone gains 9.7 million prayer XP. That's just substantial. a substantial amount of XP and money going into it.
I used to care about these competitions, and then I just stopped when I had to start putting in 300 plus hours to get half of first place.
Alex, would you be so kind as to talk to Tim and ask him when he's going to let someone else win? Because he's going to make it four in a row this month.
He's got a full-time job. I don't know what more I can do.
Well, he has won all three previous ones this year, so maybe he's going for the entire year. I don't know, but we'll just have to see. But very good effort on his part, then.
And visit and distract him for at least a weekend. I'll help save up a couple of months.
All right. Well, anyways, there's your Skill of the Month update, everyone. We got a couple of achievements of the week to talk about this week. More than a couple, actually. But first up is Jungle Biscuit with 99 fire making on the 16th. This fellow also got 99 woodcutting on the 16th as well. Then we have Subsistence with 99 divination on the 14th. Devo, 99 woodcutting on the 11th. Subsistence once again with fishing on the 10th. And Barrage Tank with 99 strength on the 9th. Congratulations, everyone. Good work done.
Well then, y'all.
Alrighty. I believe someone has a pick of the week for us.
Yes, I do.
Not me this time. Don't worry.
What do you...
Okay.
Long pause.
All right, my pick of the week is Squishable.
All right.
All right, so what's the pick?
It's effectively, you know, stuffed animals that are, they're decent size. They're a bit expensive, but they're somewhat custom made. You know, you can submit designs that will be voted on by the community, and if they do well enough, they'll have like 1,000 or 2,000 of them made to be sold. It's kind of cool, and they come in four different sizes, and some of them are pretty massive. Their biggest ones are 26 inches in diameter.
Wow, that's pretty big.
The price tag's also pretty massive on those. I mean, you know, some of them are just like normal pillows, but the massive ones, the 26-inch ones, are beanbags. And they come with a bit of a price tag. The cheapest one is $138, but...
All right. How many of these do you have? And what's your favorite one?
I think we have 9.
Oh, okay.
So far.
You know, I saw something like this on Shark Tank a while back, except it was completely customizable.
Yeah, no, this is something completely different. They're not customizable.
All right.
You know, unless you submit your own design and it's really, really good.
I guess a question I would have about this is, does the original author of the design get any portion of the profits if it sells well?
I do believe they get a kickback, yes.
Well, that's good. Yeah, these kind of interesting things that happen online like this are always nice to see, you know, taking something that was standard once upon a time and making it more user customizable and allowing people to have influence in it. Very nice indeed.
Yeah, in my opinion, the best ones to get are the 15-inch ones. They're like $38 to $40. They're decent size.
All right, and
they'll take up probably your torso.
And they work like pillows then, or?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they work as pillows.
All right, sounds good. And that's at squishable.com. Interesting pick. I don't think we've ever had anything like that before. Pillows. Good. All right, so before we talk about what we've been doing this week, I would like to highlight Colton's second Informer article. He is our newest Informer writer, and this month, in April, he's elected to talk about the Vampire Quest series, how we got to where we are and where we could potentially go in the future. So if you're interested in quests and you want a bit of a reminder about where we've been, you can give it a read. Or if you're not interested in quests and you just want to know what's going on in the storyline, you can read it as well. Very, very interesting indeed, and certainly helped me in remembering where we've been with the vampire storyline. Good work, Colton.
Nice.
All right, so what have we been doing? Alex, you can go first since your internet seems to be on the fritz.
What have I been still over there? What have I been doing? Not very much. I got three levels, mining, smithing, and crafting. That was something to focus on, but from there I've basically been checking my port voyages and doing the daily treasure hunter keys because I've been quite busy lately. So that's all I really have time for.
Okay.
But otherwise, waiting for Aquarium to come out so I can start building it and filling that up and waiting for the next quest to come out. Hopefully it'll be a good one.
All right. And you, Mr. Magic King.
You.
Oh, God. That was really dark. I haven't been doing too much. I've just been getting on and doing daily challenges for the most part.
All right.
Mostly been busy with college.
Anything in the old school realm or community ambassador realm that we need to talk about? I know we're doing the skill of the weekend, but that doesn't matter since we'll be
that'll be started by the time we're recording. By the time this comes out,
mm-hmm.
Now there's nothing too much. There's nothing planned in the near future.
All right. Well, as for me this week, I do actually have stuff to talk about. RuneScape, first up. I hit 60 million farming XP earlier today.
Congratulations.
Yep, going for the 120, so 44 million XP.
You didn't make a post
go.
About it.
No, I didn't make a post because I forgot to take the screenshot.
Well, I mean, you know, it never hurts to take a post late.
Yeah.
Or take a picture late and post on the forums.
Yeah, I probably will do that. Need to.
You can always Photoshop it, too.
I don't know about that. But. Also this week in ports, I completed the, level 85 magic wand. I just need to get another one of the, Kasekis to, create the offhand. So that's going well. Had a very good string last week of the adventurers always being there right when I needed them to complete the storyline and, get the actual piece of the, get the gemstone Kaseki. So that was good. But aside from that, on RS, lots of herb farming, been doing a bit of Slayer, and, I guess been hanging it out a bit in the Order of Ascension to kill some Roari just to raise some funds. I mean, I find that an easier way of fundraising than doing the Queen Black Dragon, because it requires certainly much less attention than the QBD, so... It's a good option for if I'm just not feeling like I have the attention span to focus on every little attack going on at the QBD. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to on RS. And aside from that, just been running some experiments on some Twitter feeds and might have something interesting with that in a week and a half or so. But, yeah, that's about it for me. Anything else before we wrap up this is fine episode?
I'm good.
I'm just fine. Better end it quickly before I go crazy.
Well, this has been RSBNB Update. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you fine listeners out there. So if you want to have a chat, just find me in-game. You can add Shane12088, and I'll listen to any concerns or anything you want to talk about. I enjoy talking to you guys. So Shane12088, in-game.
You guys can always also jump on the forums as well at rsbnb.com/forums.
Very good. All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Bye.
Cheers, cannoneers.